You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad, how are you?
I'm doing great. It is a beautiful autumn, just beautiful autumn day in North Carolina, and we have needed one. We have had the hottest September in the history of Durham, I think.
And it's crazy.
And then really, even in October, it's been very hot. And so now it's just cool and brisk outside. Leaves are changing. Later this afternoon, I'm going to go for a long walk, and it's a good time to be in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. The fall is definitely the most beautiful time, in my opinion, in North Carolina.
Yes.
And actually, I was going to make sure that I told you. I'm so excited to have a food-related thing to talk with you about. my father, the foodie. Okay. I told you that we went apple picking. This is kind of tying in with what you just said about fall.
Yeah.
And I made with Sadie the best apple pie. And so if you're going to be making one this fall, you should, or like coming up, you should try this recipe. It's from allrecipes.com and it's called like Grandma Opal's apple pie. But Dad, it is so good. I think you'll love it.
Now, this is cruel. We're supposed to be recording a podcast.
I know.
And I'm sitting here salivating all over my microphone. So, anyhow, listeners, if it sounds a little wet, it's because I'm completely wrapped around this apple pie
That's hilarious. But yeah, it was super good. Adam said it was one of his favorite. I did adapt the top crust a little bit and did like the, what's that called, streusel?
Yeah.
Instead of like the basic. But anyways, file that one away, Dad. I think you would like it.
Great.
So,
great.
Anyways, now to segue to leadership.
There you go.
I don't know. We'll just go for it. There's no real segue. Yeah. Okay, so Dad, today we're going to be talking about just some concepts around position and influence and leadership. Can you introduce our title and the topic and kind of tell us how this all fits together?
You bet. Well, our topic today is called The Need for Influence, The Steps to Gaining It.
Mm-hmm.
And where this comes from, you know, for 26 years now with Leadership Edge, we have been thinking about, writing on, learning about, mentoring around, developing God-honoring leaders. And as I began the organization and did a lot of the original thinking before mm-hmm. others began to work with me on it, I began to think about what would it be like if you understood leadership not so much related to position, but more related to actual influence.
Hmm.
And so it's the leader isn't the leader because she or he has a title.
Mm-hmm.
The leader is a leader because she or he actually knows how to have influence in people's lives. And along that time, one of the most prolific writers in the U.S. on leadership in the last few decades, I don't know how many dozens of books this man has written, John Maxwell,
okay.
He said that leadership is influence, that's all it is. And I'm still pondering if that's a overstatement mm-hmm. or oversimplification or not, but I think there's a lot of truth there that leadership is basically about the kind of sustained influence I can have in someone's life, and it's not limited to or necessarily elevated by me just having a position.
Hmm. Yeah.
So that we'll be talking a little bit about how do you go about having that kind of influence? Where does that come from?
Hmm. Awesome. Well, good. And so how does this business concept fit with scripture? Like, are there passages or maybe biblical characters who have helped you to understand this?
Well, you know, with our podcast, it seems like maybe every other episode we look at Philippians 2, where it talks about Jesus emptying himself, Jesus letting go of his position. And as you think about the life and ministry of Christ, he had position in the sense that he was the Son of God, but when he came to earth, he gave up all of that position, and yet in the course of a very short life, 33 years and only 3 to 4 years of, you know, public ministry, he was the most influential man who ever lived. And so I think it completely fits in with a biblical understanding of leadership, especially exemplified in Christ. But I think even as you look through the Old Testament leaders, whether it's Abraham or Moses or David or Joshua or any of them, you know, Ruth, Esther, any of them, God was always working on them, not about, okay, what's your title, but what kind of person are you? What kind of effect are you having? Is your faith in God, and is that affecting how you treat those that, with whom? And are you influencing them in a way that fits with God's purposes, with God's design? So I see it as being very much right in the core of everything the Bible teaches about leadership.
Yeah, that's good. Really good. Okay. One thing that I found helpful was the quadrant diagram that was in this paper. So, it actually, we haven't even really talked about the paper yet, but we will be linking in the show notes to a paper that you did on this topic.
Okay. So, the quadrant that you're referring to, Laura, it's one that actually Chris Satti, who is a dear friend of ours and a volunteer for Leadership Edge, and I developed a while ago.
Oh, cool.
And it basically is looking at the kind of the combination of position and influence. And so a quadrant, what we're talking about here is a box that you've divided into four quadrants, two on top of the other ones. And if you're moving from bottom to top on this, you're thinking about position. So bottom left quadrant would be no position. Top left quadrant would be some position, like you're the head of the organization, or you're the mother or father, or whatever the position is.
Okay.
So from bottom to top, we're thinking about position. From left to right, we're thinking about influence.
Okay.
And so furthest to the left, you have no influence. Further to the right, you have great influence. And so the way the quadrants look is the bottom left quadrant, you have no position, no influence.
Okay.
Top left quadrant, you have no influence, but you have position.
Okay.
Bottom right quadrant, you have no position, but great influence. And top right quadrant, you have position and influence. So those are the four quadrants. And again, as Laura mentioned, if that's completely confusing to you, and the paper that will be attached to the show notes, there'll be a picture of this.
Okay, awesome. I think you did a great job. I could not have done that. So good job describing a quadrant. Okay. So Dad, as we consider this, like, I guess, what's the goal? Is it reaching a particular quadrant, or is it more that we would, I mean, I guess you kind of already said this, but like, is it the kind of person that we are regardless of where we fit in the quadrants?
I think the goal is that we grow to be people that have God-honoring influence. And by God-honoring influence, I mean influence that that changes people, that moves people, that pulls together people towards something, but influence that honors God both in its means and its ends.
Yeah.
You know, its means in terms of how it treats people, but also the ends in terms of what it's out to accomplish or to affect.
Yeah.
That's the goal. And so if God gives us a position or a higher position, then that's great. If he doesn't give us a higher position, that's fine. We still have influence. And it's really interesting to see in the Bible different characters who had very little position, but who had great influence.
Yeah.
you know, say the widow who gave her only mite, her only coin to God, and just how she's memorialized in Scripture and as an example to every Christian believer of every generation anywhere.
Yeah.
And yet she had no position, you know, whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Or the shepherds that came to worship Christ at his birth. Of all the people in the world, it was them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was their obedience to follow God, to find Christ, to worship him, that compels us all at Christmas time to think about doing the same thing. So I think the Bible is just wrought with people who had little or no position, but because of how they lived their lives, they were great examples. They had great influence. And I think that's the goal. That's the goal.
Awesome. Great. Okay. Well, so now let's examine these quadrants more closely. So the first, and you described this, the first is no position and no influence. So, and we've all been here, right? We've all been here at some point, maybe a summer intern or an employee fresh out of college. What's your encouragement to a person in this spot? And actually, I guess you just kind of delivered it of, God uses those kinds of people all the time. But put it, I mean, like, why don't you tell us more about where do you go from here?
Yeah, well, no position, no influence. And really, I think as long as any human being's alive, they have some influence. I mean, just by being there, there's some. But no position, very, 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 very little influence.
Uh-huh.
In some ways, this is a place that's a test of your heart. Meaning, why are you here? Are you here to just get up the ladder, get to the position as quickly as possible, and to use as many people any way as you can to get there? Is your position to just become cynical and passive because you don't have any influence, you don't have any position, and so you just kind of give up?
Right.
And just kind of sit there, take up space?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you, in faith and faithfulness, think, this is my time to shine? Meaning, this is my time to believe God and to serve people really, really well.
Yeah.
And to see if even in the bottommost role in this organization, I can have influence that would honor God and help people. So I think the bottom left quadrant is really a decision-making, kind of a testing kind of place of why am I here and what is it that I'm really going after while I'm here.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, this is kind of reminding me of like David in the Bible when he's like promised that he's going to become the king and then like then he just goes back to the fields for how many more years, you know, and then he's on the run and it's like, well, I guess he pretty quickly became a person of influence. But yeah, I mean, just who we become really hinges more on who we are when no one's watching.
Yep.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we have the next quadrant, which is position but no influence. So,
and this is kind of sadly comical. And usually, who I think of when I think of having position but no influence.
You're making me nervous.
Yeah, this is the new husband, 1 month or 2 months into his marriage.
Okay.
Where he has the position, you know, I'm the husband.
Yeah.
He does not even realize how little influence he has. And so he does really stupid things that instead of influencing his wife to join together with him, deeply offends and deeply demotivates his wife. And he's completely lost. I've done workshops around this model for years. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when we get to this one, you know, position but no influence, I've asked them, I want you to think of a time when you were in that quadrant, when you had a position, either on the sports team or in a job or somewhere, mm-hmm. but you had no idea what to do, especially in regards of influencing people.
Hmm.
And it's interesting. Invariably, everyone can remember at least one time when they were there.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. And so all I ask them is, how did that feel?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like horrible. Totally. And then they just tell these hysterical stories
mm-hmm.
of just misdirected things that they did because they had the position, but they had very little idea as to how to influence people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the top left quadrant, the position with no influence, is maybe a caption for that is, you're only fooling yourself. Because you may have the title, but if you don't have influence, you're only fooling yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you kind of talked about the hilarity of this, but I think like when I've been in places like this, it's actually just super discouraging. And I mean, I just kind of want to freeze, you know?
Yeah.
You just want to give up. So how do you think about this? Like if you realize, hey, John's talking about me right now, and I've been here. How do we think about this? And then also, I think we can all agree this is not where we want to be. So what's the next step forward?
Well, I think that some would tell you, you just fake it till you make it.
Uh-huh.
Meaning you just act like you know what you're doing until you actually figure out what you're doing.
Okay.
I think that a better way is to humbly admit to yourself and to God, God, I have no idea how mm-hmm. to influence people here.
Mm-hmm.
God, help me. And then I think for you to begin to look at the people in the organization who have influence
mm-hmm.
and begin to think through, what can I learn from them
mm-hmm.
as to the influence they have? And possibly, how can I win trust with them
mm-hmm.
to where they will extend some of the influence they have to me.
Mm-hmm.
Another example of this can be like in a local church setting where they bring in the new senior pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's a lay person or maybe many lay people who have all the influence.
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor has the title, but all the members are looking to these two or three lay people to figure out, okay, what do we really do or what do we think or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And the pastor has to learn how to skillfully, wisely, adeptly kind of win over those people of influence and learn how they do it so that he can establish himself as the credible leader of the organization.
So in that scenario, or either of those scenarios, how do you, like, yes, humble yourself, but also it seems like you need to assert yourself too, right? Or is that not true?
Yeah, and no, you can't give up your leadership.
Uh-huh.
But really, if your leadership is more position than influence, you do need to quickly learn, okay, how do I do this? So I think the way you humble yourself is, mm-hmm. again, going to God, admitting the truth, admitting your need, going to coaches, mm-hmm. folks that can kind of coach you into gaining the influence that you need, but then also really learning from those around you in the organization who have more influence than you do,
mm-hmm.
and kind of learning how do they do it?
Yeah.
And what can I learn from them? And can I build enough trust back and forth with them to where we can join together rather than be at odds with each other?
Yeah, no, that's really good. Well, and that kind of reminds me of my first year living in California, and I got a job working not as a city employee, but in a city organization. But anyways, the team that I was part of was pretty demoralized, and some of that was like failure of leadership type stuff. But I remember at one point, one of the managers came in and kind of owned up to a couple of things that were poor choices on his part, and it was pretty surprising. But I do remember just the energy that came out of that, and as he humbled himself, basically, that really made an impact within the whole team, you know?
Absolutely. That's a great example.
Yeah. What about a person who doesn't have a high position? So I guess now we're moving like over to the right hand, bottom and top. Okay. What about a person who does not have a high position but does have influence? What are the challenges there, and what are the opportunities?
Well, I think the opportunities are great, and that you don't have position, so that in a lot of ways there's not a lot of limelight on you. There's not a lot of focus
pressure.
On you.
Yeah.
You can just kind of scurry around and be a great employee, you know, really support and encourage others, resource them, and you don't have to mess with a lot of the stuff of the organization. It's just like you can be influencing under the radar. Now, I think the downside is to make sure that you do that with purity of heart and not in a way that's undermining the leadership of the organization. Because I think that if you're the leader of the organization, those people who have real influence, they can either be a threat to you or a blessing to you. And you just want to make sure that in that role that you have with very little position, notoriety, but with real influence, that you're yielding that influence in a God-honoring way, in a way that's moving forward the organization, and in a way that is supporting and never undermining the leadership of the organization. I think that's kind of a place of, on the one hand, great freedom, but on the other hand, I think great accountability to God as to what you do with the influence that you're gaining.
And so I guess, what have you learned about what does it look like in that position to support the leaders? Because you're right. I mean, you aren't as accountable, you know, like in front of people, you're not held as accountable. So in a way, it's an easier place to be, you know. No one wants your head on a platter if things don't go great. So how can you be an encouragement and a support to the people who have both leadership and influence, or position and influence?
Yeah, well, I think you make yourself, accountable to them. Like you let them know what you're doing. You let them speak into what you're doing. You try to do nothing that would catch them by surprise.
That's good.
So that you're proving yourself. And, you know, if you have some issue with their leadership, you're going to take it up with them. You're not going to be taking it up with everyone else around their back, behind their back. I think a biblical example of this, a negative example, would be Absalom, you know, David's son, who I guess did have position in that he was one of the king's sons, but he basically went out to the city and won over the hearts of the people, but he did it in a way to basically undermine and supplant his father. And just to keep yourself away from the heart of Absalom in that situation.
Well, and like that almost destroyed David's kingdom.
And it ended up with Absalom being dead.
So, that too.
And that
really is
didn't
a cautionary
work out
tale.
Well for him.
Okay. All right. And finally, the intersection of both position and influence. So like top right quadrant. What happens here?
Well, I think what happens there is you're able to leverage the benefits of both. You know, because as someone who has position, you do have some power, some authority that comes with position. Things like controlling resources or allocating resources. Things like hiring and firing people. Things like setting direction and vision. You know, with the position, you have those levers you can pull, those places of power that you can yield. But because you also understand influence, you're able to use those tools that come with the position in wise ways that actually move the people forward and actually help set up the organization to be effective in accomplishing its mission and vision. So when you have both, you know, position and influence, you've got a lot of responsibility. You've got a lot of decisions to make. But you also are kind of at a place, at a moment, where God can do tremendously big things for the organization as you hold both of those together and in a way that is always, you know, humble before the people and before God.
Great, Dad. Well, thanks so much for sharing on this topic. I think that my big takeaway, I mean, this is just very personal to where I'm at, but, you know, being in a season where I'm more at home and don't have a ton of, you know, position or whatever, thinking through how to really get behind the leaders around me, you know, who have both position and influence, and how to be a support to them and an encouragement to them. So, thanks. This is really helpful for me and hopefully for our listeners too. Do you have any final thoughts for us?
Yeah, there's one last thing I just wanted to touch on. It could be some of our listeners are wondering, so how do you build influence? Like, where does influence
that's a really good
come
question.
From?
Yeah.
And so we're by design in this podcast not going to get into that a lot, but at Leadership Edge, with the lifestyle leadership model that we use, we say that basically influence is built around three things. It's built around your character, which gives you the weight of moral authority. It's built around your competence, that gives you the weight of developed ability. And it's built around your commitment, your making and keeping commitments, which gives you the weight of focused attention. And that those three things, your character, your competence, and your commitment to lead in a way that honors God, have to be aligned with God's word and God's character. And so if one of our listeners is thinking about, okay, I get the need for influence, how do I get to the steps to gaining it? I think the steps to gaining it are around continuing to grow in your character, continuing to grow in your competence, actually knowing what to do as a leader, and continuing to grow to make and keep wise commitments, and all of that aligned with God's word and God's character. And just to tee up a little bit for the future, later in the spring of 2020, we'll be doing a series of episodes around that model, the character, competence, and commitment aligned with God's word and God's character. So what we're saying to wrap up today's podcast is, we see the need for influence. We're teeing up the way you gain it is by your character, your competence, your commitment aligned with God's word and God's character. And we will take that up more in full in the spring. And then just as a wrap-up thought to you all, don't know where you see yourself as a leader, as a person of influence. For some, you may be very clear, oh yeah, I'm clearly a leader in this area, this area, this area. For some of you, the idea of you being a leader, you just wonder if that's even the truth. The thing I want to remind you about as we wrap up is God has given every one of you influence. I think that's one of the most precious gifts he gives us in this life, is the influence that we have in our marriage, in our family, in our career, in our community, in our church. And I hope that you'll, from this podcast, just be reminded of the need for influence. And that as we follow God, as we look to him, as we grow in character, competence, and commitment that's aligned with his word and his character, God can do things in and through us that's just far beyond what we could think or imagine. And that is both a great gift and, I would say, a great responsibility for us all. And I just want to remind you as we wrap up that the vision that we put forward in Leadership Edge, we call it the personal vision statement. It's this: by God's grace, to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. And may God bless you this week as you step forward in your spheres of influence by His grace to serve His purposes for His glory.
And what an encouraging ending. Thanks so much, Dad, and thanks, listeners, for joining us. And in 2 weeks, we'll be back with another episode with a very special guest where we'll be interviewing.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.